Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. I have a couple of dreams that I want to share with you in light of the recent events here in America, the terrorist attacks and the attack in Paris a few weeks ago. And so I want to share these with you to let you know that the Lord is sharing with his prophets what is coming to America, and the Lord is urgent in his desire to get the message out. He's urgent in his desire to share with people that they need to come to him, that they need to repent, that every single person needs to get down on their knees and repent. And so that is the message today. That is the message that I'm going to be speaking. If you're already a believer, you know that the peace that comes with knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is real. It is real in your life, and it gives you stability in your life. It gives you peace beyond all understanding that the world does not know. And if you're not a believer, you will have an opportunity today to make a choice. You'll have an opportunity today to make a decision. And you can either accept Jesus as your Lord, you can either believe on him and believe his commandments, or you can reject him. And that is going to be the choice that you will have today and every day as long as you have life here on this earth. And God wants you to know him. Jesus Christ, his son, died on the cross for you, and he wants you to know him. He wants you to come to him and turn to him. And so the purpose of today's message will be to bring you to a place of decision to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Well, the first thing I'm going to tell you about is a dream that I had in 2009. The Lord took me down into the jungles of Costa Rica, and I was on a mission trip down there to preach to the Quebecer indigenous people. And it was very quiet down there. I'm giving you a little description of the scenery down there. It was very quiet. There was no internet, no telephones, no TV, no radio. It was just the people that we were ministering to and the quietness of that village down in the jungles of southern Costa Rica. And nothing really had changed much in the 400 years that they had been there. They had a little bit in the way of modern tools and modern instruments to help them make it through each day, but for the most part, their lives were very simple. Their lives were very uncomplicated, and just as they had been for 400 years as they lived up in this mountainous region. And the Lord gave me a download every single night. I was in the village for about a week, and the Lord gave me a download just about every night of a dream and a glimpse into the future, if you will, and a glimpse into what was coming to America. And he used this setting, this backdrop of the jungles of Costa Rica because of the quietness. And so I was very in tune with the Spirit. I was very much in touch with the Spirit and what the Lord wanted to share with me. And so every night he gave me a dream, and it was just as if I was sitting in a movie theater. Their dreams are so clear, they were so in detail. It was like reading a book, only I was seeing it all on the screen. The details were very, very explicit. And so the first dream that I'm going to share with you is called Dream of Terrorist Attack. And in the dream, I was standing behind a platform, and the platform had a big podium on the front with many microphones, and the podium was, and the President of the United States was standing behind the podium, and he was speaking to a huge crowd of people out there in front of the platform, and I was just a casual observer, I guess you would say, a casual observer to this scene as it unfolded. And as the president was speaking, immediately from behind the podium, from behind the platform, a man jumped up on the platform, and he came rushing forward to lunge a spear into the back of the president. And so I was shocked as I watched this happen. I was shocked as it all unfolded. It happened very quickly, and he buried this spear into the back of the president. And I believe the Lord was showing me not so much a specific attack on the individual man, on the president himself. I don't believe that's what it was. I believe what the Lord was showing me was that there was going to be an attack by the enemy, by the terrorists. There was going to be an attack on the country, because the president represents the Commander-in-Chief. He represents the defense of our country. And he showed me, the Lord showed me, that the attack was going to come from behind or from the rear, because we no longer have the guard of the Lord as our rear guard. Isaiah 58 says that the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. And when you forsake the Lord, when you forsake him and do not keep his commandments, in Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and the curses chapter in the Old Testament, when you do not keep the commandments of the Lord and you forsake the Lord, then the glory of the Lord is no longer your rear guard. And I believe the Lord was showing me that we have forsaken the Lord to the point that we no longer have him as our rear guard, that the glory of the Lord has departed from America and we no longer have him as our rear guard. And so that was part one of the dream, that the spear was lunged into the back of the president. And specifically, I don't think it really matters who the president is in this particular situation, although I believe that we're seeing in many ways the fulfillment of this prophetic dream in this particular president, but I think it could be any president. I think it could be any man standing in that office, and he represents the defense of this country. And he represents the commander-in-chief, the one who puts the troops into battle, and the one who stands for the protection of the people here in the United States of America. And so I saw the spear being lunged into his back. I was immediately struck by the fact that this is an attack on our country as a whole. And the second part of the dream, I'm talking to the president. I'm sitting across the table from him, and I'm talking to him about the National Guard, and I am saying to him, the National Guard are our sons and our daughters and our brothers and our sisters, and I want you to respect them and to take good care of them. And the reason why I said those words to the president was because the second part of the dream, the Lord had showed me, I was taken up in the spirit over my hometown, and the streets were filled with military personnel, especially the main street, the main highway that goes through the town. There's really only two highways that go through the town, and the main highway was filled with military personnel. And as I looked at the personnel, I was focusing in on them, and I thought, well, this looks like the Veterans Day Parade. We have a big Veterans Day Parade here in the town every year. And I thought, this looks like the Veterans Day Parade. And they were lining up one behind the other in a long string, a long file of people. But as I focused in on the detail of these people in what I thought was this parade, I realized that it wasn't a parade at all, that these were military personnel, that this was the National Guard, and they had come to establish martial law. They had come to take over the city and to keep peace and stability at a time of great chaos and a time of great conflict. And so the words that I spoke to the president, that you need to take care of and respect our National Guard, I spoke those words to him in correlation or in relation to the vision that he had given me of the National Guard in the city that had come to establish martial law. And so it was a time of great chaos in the country. It was a time of calamity in the country. It was a time of fear. And so the National Guard had been called out to bring peace and stability into the country all over the land. The third part of the dream and the final part, we were standing around. There were several of us standing around in the front of my store. At that time, I had a natural food store in downtown of this city, and we were standing around in a circle, passing around a loaf of raisin bread, and people were tearing off big chunks of bread, and they were eating it as this loaf was being passed around. And at that time, we were baking several different kinds of bread every day. We baked whole wheat bread, we baked raisin bread, cheese bread. And so the vision that the Lord gave me of these people standing around eating bread was simply to say that the local production of food was going to be the most reliable food, that the local production of food was going to be the food that would be available, that there was going to be breakdown in the food chain, that there was going to be breakdown in the supply and the distribution. And of course, we know in America that food is trucked and shipped many, many miles, and so the breakdown of the distribution and supply was going to be significant, to the point that normal supply of food and normal channels of distribution would not be functioning, and local production of food would carry the day. And so the people were eating the food, they were eating the bread, they were very hungry. You could tell by the way they were tearing off big chunks off of the loaf. They were tearing off big chunks because they were devouring it. They were very hungry. And so the Lord was showing me that be prepared to supply your own food. Well, the second dream that I want to share with you came actually in 2003, and I had written it down in a dream journal that I keep, and I had written it down, and I had not really shared it with too many people, just some close friends and prayer partners. But the dream was very explicit, and the dream was very profound in its implications. And this dream I call Dream of Explosions. And in this dream in 2003, I'm standing on the shore of a bay or the ocean, most likely a bay, an inlet, where the ocean came in to the land. And I'm standing on the shore, and I'm looking across the bay towards a big city, a city with a big skyline, many tall buildings. And had I been able to closely identify the city, I think I would have been able to, had I known that particular city, had I known the details of that particular city and its skyline, I believe I would have been able to name the city. But anyway, I was looking across the bay at the city, at the skyline, and all of a sudden, several explosions, one right after another, erupted, and huge fireballs of flame went up into the air. This was not a replay of 9/11. It was not a replay of planes going into tall towers or the World Trade Center. This was a dream that the Lord was showing me of the future. And these explosions were large, massive explosions. Smoke and flames were billowing up, and there was at least two or three explosions that I could see were very, very destructive and very dramatic in their impact, very catastrophic in their impact. And I believe that the Lord was showing me, he was giving me a prophetic glimpse of an event that is actually going to happen in the future of America. And so when I put that dream together with the dream of the terrorist attack in 2009, I started to see a pattern here that the Lord was revealing to me the future of events that are going to occur here in America. Well, in the prophetic, in the New Testament, the New Covenant prophetic, it is a fluid situation. Things don't always come to pass as they are given to the prophets. Events don't always occur just as they are given to the prophets. And the reason why is because when people pray, when people get on their knees and intercede, when the Lord gives them visions and dreams for the future, when the Lord gives those glimpses into the future, it is His desire for His people to get down on their knees and to cry out and to intercede and to stand in the gap so that these things don't come to pass. And so when prophets reveal events and dreams and visions such as what I've just revealed to you, it's not to say that these things are absolutely going to happen. If people pray, the reason I'm releasing this to you today and letting you know that the Lord is sincere in His desire to save America. He wants to bless America. He wants to keep His hand of protection over America. But when we disregard Him, when we turn away from Him, and when we seek other gods, and we are disobedient to His word and callous toward His word, then those things will come to pass. There are things that are immutable. That is to say, the Lord may have determined that no amount of prayer is going to change what He has already declared, the calamity that He has declared. But by the same token, when we pray And when we intercede and stand in the gap for our neighborhoods, for our cities, for our country, then the Lord at any one time can relent and turn his mind, change his mind, and those things which seem immutable, those things which seem to be determined by the Lord, they can be changed, and it all depends on you and me, brother and sister. It all depends on us and our repentance, our crying out to the Lord, our seeking him in prayer and in fasting to intercede for this nation. And so the Lord shares with his prophets what is yet to come. He shares with the prophets to bring correction into the church. He shares with his prophets to bring correction to the nation, that we could drop the plumb line and say, you're out of alignment with the Lord's word. You're out of alignment with God's will. And so it is important that the prophets speak out when the Lord gives them a vision or a dream, not concerning their reputation, not with regard to what other people will think about their reputation, but simply to speak out so that people can intercede, that people can get on their knees and be in the gap and pray for the nation and for their families and for their own individual lives. In Luke 13, if you have your Bible there, turn it to Luke 13. The Lord says in verse 1, there were present at that season some who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. In other words, some of these Galileans had been slaughtered, they'd been killed, just like the Parisians in Paris were killed and slaughtered, just like the Americans in San Bernardino were slaughtered, but they had mingled the blood of these slaughtered, of these sacrificed. They'd mingled it with pig blood or other types of unclean blood and applied it to their gods, applied it to the sacrifices that they made to their gods. And Jesus answered those that were listening to him there, and he says, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? In other words, because they suffered this fate of having their blood mingled with the blood of pigs. And Jesus said, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners because they suffered such things? And in verse 3, he says, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will also likewise perish. And in verse 4 of Luke 13, he says, or those 18 people on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all the other men who dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And what Jesus was trying to say, the point he was trying to make, was that we are all going to die at some point in time. And some people are going to die in calamitous ways. A Tower of Siloam may fall on them. Tower of the World Trade Center may fall on them. Or people maybe get slaughtered in their place of work or in the Bataclan concert hall. Or people may get slaughtered in an airplane that they thought they were going on a trip to see some friends or to a tourist destination, and that is the last trip they make. They may be slaughtered and sacrificed by the evil intentions of the devil, by the evil wiles of the devil. And so Jesus said, do you think those people were chosen out because they were worse sinners than the other people who stayed in Chicago and didn't get on a plane, or the other people who stayed in Detroit and didn't get on a plane, or the other people in San Bernardino who didn't work at this workplace? Do you think these people were singled out because they were worse sinners? And Jesus says, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And what he was talking about there is the eternal destiny of all men. He was talking about the eternity that is before all men, no matter what their race, no matter what their nationality, no matter what their country, no matter what their religion, their eternal destiny is determined by whether they repent and turn to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so, brother and sister, you don't know when your last day on this earth is going to be. You don't know when your time is going to be up. We're in a time of peril here in America, but it's really perilous all over the world. People in Paris never thought in a million years probably that those types of things would happen in their beautiful capital city, the city that many people go to for vacations and to see the beauty of the city and the culture there. They never thought that they would see that kind of horrific slaughter, that kind of horrific bloodletting in their city. And we don't believe that that can happen in America. But I tell you today that we are in a time of sorrows. We're in a time of peril. We're in a time when innocent blood is going to get shed all over the place. And we're in a time when you don't know when you go to work if that is going to be your last day on this earth, if that is going to be your last day at that workplace, or if you go to a ball game or some other event, you don't know but what that may be your last. And so Jesus is saying, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish because the time of sorrows is here. Matthew 24 Verse 6, Jesus talks about the time of sorrows. He says, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See to it that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. That's verse 8 in Matthew 24. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Well, I believe for sure we're in the end times. I believe the formation of the nation of Israel kicked off the time clock of the end times and kicked off the time clock of the time of sorrows, the time of birth pangs. And as birth pangs in the natural are first spaced far apart and at first not too intense, I believe you're going to see the birth pangs get more intense. I believe you're going to see the birth pangs get closer together. And after a while, it will just be one pang after another. It will be one sorrow after another. And here we are in America. We can barely catch our breath because the terrorist attacks in this country are becoming more frequent. They're becoming more violent. And you're going to see more and more of these attacks. You're going to be seeing more violent things happen in this country that you never believed would have happened in America. And so keep in mind the dream of the terrorist attack that I just spoke and the dream of the explosions. There's going to be some great calamity coming to America unless we repent, unless we turn from our wicked ways, and unless we seek the Lord with all of our heart, strength, and our mind, and our soul. Well, going on in Matthew 24, it says that then they will deliver you, and he's talking to believers now, then they will deliver you to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And isn't that true? As we look around today, we see all the nations of the earth turning against Israel, and we see terrorist attacks in many, many nations, not just in the Middle East as it used to be, but we see terrorist attacks all across Northern Africa and Nigeria, Kenya, and other places, and we see terrorist attacks now in Europe, and you're going to see many more in Europe in the days ahead, and you're even seeing terrorist attacks now here in the United States of America. The enemy is here. The enemy is among us, and the enemy is intent on killing, and they will deliver you to tribulation, and they will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. In other words, if you call on the name of Jesus, if you claim Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you're going to be hated. And many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another, and that's going to be one of the hallmarks of the end days, that many will hate each other, that the love of many will grow cold. And you see that today as we look upon the events of the last week. You saw this man get up from his workplace. The workers that he had worked with on a daily basis went home, strapped up his armor, strapped on his gun, and went back and shot those very same people who he worked. And so you're going to be seeing this in the days ahead. And in verse 11, many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Matthew 24:13, he who endures to the end shall be saved. Well, beloved, Jesus calms the storm in spite of everything that we see going on around us, the time of sorrows, the lawlessness that is evident, the lawlessness that is going to manifest every day here in this nation. Jesus calms the storm. Matthew chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. They were out on the sea and the storm was rocking the boat. The storm had everybody fearful, and the disciples said to Jesus when they woke him up, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." But Jesus said to them, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" And then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him?" And so Jesus Christ can calm the storm. He's the only way that we're going to get through this peril. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then the Lord says, I will hear their prayer and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land." Beloved, we need our land to be healed. We need to turn to the Lord and repent, turn from our wicked ways, and seek the Lord while he may be found. Stay tuned for contact information. We need to hear from you. Let us know that you enjoy these broadcasts. Let us know that you're listening. Include a donation check if you can, and we appreciate your support and your prayers. And thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.